Today we're going to begin a new sermon series on hope. We surely could use that at this time, and I hope that as we go through this series that God will stir in your heart and give you a focus and an inspiration and encouragement to be able to go with joy even in these tough times. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to Romans chapter 8, and we're going to be looking at verses 18 through 27 this morning. As we go through this series, we're going to look at topics such as hope when it seems like things are hopeless, looking at times when we're going through the battles of life and finding hope, looking at times when we go through extreme disappointment and we seem to have broken dreams, and also times when we're going through grief and finding hope. But today we're going to look at hope in the midst of suffering. So follow with me as we look in Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 18. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for that which he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Let's pray. Lord, we just want to thank you that in the midst of our difficult times, you are there with us. And I pray today that you would help us, Lord, to leave with hope in the midst of our suffering. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Shortly after the stay-at-home orders, on our Facebook small group page, we got a prayer request from a couple in our church asking for prayer for Lewis, who had gone to the ER. It was shortly after that that we found out that he was diagnosed with COVID-19. And he was stable and doing okay, but they wanted to watch him. Over the past few days, he was still doing well, but Connie began to also get some symptoms, and she was tested. And we then got a prayer request that asked us to pray for Lewis a little bit more intently as he was having some difficulty breathing. Within a 24-hour period of that time, Lewis ended up being placed on a ventilator. And during this time, Connie's symptoms began to become worse. She got tested and also was found out that she had COVID-19. Lewis was on the ventilator and Connie was at home having to deal with the fever and the cough and this going through the shortness of breath. And sadly, she was not able to be there with her husband as he's going through this time. Fortunately, Connie's doing better today. And Lewis, while still on the ventilator, almost now for 2 weeks, is showing signs of improvement. But these were difficult days and still are for Lewis and Connie. And I want to encourage you to remember them in prayer. As we look at this COVID-19, we all have to realize that there really is suffering in our world. And most of us, while not having had to deal with the suffering that comes actually from the illness, have been affected by this. Whether it's been losing employment, while it's been the social distancing and not being able to be with friends or having other issues that have come up with this. And today I want us to look at the truth that there is hope even in the midst of suffering. And so I hope you'll join with me as we look at this passage in Romans chapter 8. And the first thing I want you to see is that suffering is real. If you look at the verse above in verse 17, you see that Paul here writes to the Romans and mentions that there is suffering. And in verse 18, he says, I consider the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. While the glory is more awesome and more spectacular than the suffering we go through, we need to still understand that the suffering is real. And there's some branches of Christianity that tend to want us to focus and deny suffering. There's one group called the Word of Faith that sort of says that Christians shouldn't be suffering the consequences of sin, and that if they have real faith, that they sort of can overcome those, that they should never get sick, that they should never face poverty, that nothing bad should happen in their life if they have true, genuine faith. And then there's others that are sort of like Job's friends. They agree that they're suffering, but if you're suffering, it's because it's your fault and you did something wrong. And while it is true that when we do sin, there are consequences, it's also true that even though we sin, sometimes we're not the one who suffers the consequences. Think about the drunk driver who goes out and drinks. Many times they're okay in the accident and they end up killing other people. While we see that all sin leads to pain and death, sometimes the one who commits the sin doesn't actually suffer the consequences. And the same is true. Sometimes innocent people suffer the consequences of other people's sin. And when we look at this world today, we understand that the reason that there is suffering and pain in the world is because of man's sin and man's rebellion. That goes back even to Adam and Eve. When Adam and Eve chose to disobey God, it was then that sin entered the world. And that is when decay and natural disasters and sickness were birthed. The Bible makes clear that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. And because of that, as we go through this world, we're all going to face times of pain and suffering. The animal kingdom experienced death when Adam and Eve sinned. Before that, the animals did not eat each other. They only ate of the herbs of the ground, and the same with man. But after sin and after Adam and Eve fell, then death was brought into the world, and with it, its calamities. Because of this, we're all going to experience times in this world of suffering. And it's okay to embrace the fact that suffering is taking place. We can't live trying to deny it or pretend it's not real or ignoring it. But that also doesn't mean that we have to come to the place where we live in it. And so while suffering is real, And I want you to understand, and it's okay to acknowledge it, I also want you to see, secondly, that hope is real. And while we go through these difficult days, I want us to see that there is a glory that is real that is going to come one day, and that this glory is greater than anything we face. The Bible wants us to understand that hope is different than what the world says hope is. When you look at the world definition of hope, you think of people often saying, man, I hope I win the lottery, or I hope my team wins the big game, or what they're saying is there's something out there that's beyond my control that I hope will go my way. And so the world's ideas hope is like wishing on a star, or throwing a coin in a well, or pulling a lever on a slot machine. And so what they're saying is that this thing is probably not going to happen, but I hope that it does, and maybe it will. But that's not what biblical hope is. Biblical hope is totally different. It's a solid confidence that what God has promised will come true. It's not a wish. It's an assurance that those who love Him know that even though they go through difficult times, good will come from it. That there's hope comes in and tells us that as we go through life, that we will contribute to being a part of God's purpose in growing His kingdom. And that we can be assured that in the afterlife, that all of this pain and suffering will be forgotten when we come into His glory, and it will be well worth it. And so hope is what allows us to be able to endure suffering in this time. And today I want us to look at the groans of hope that are found in this passage. You know, over the past 20 years, I've gotten quite a bit older, and there are some things that I used to be able to do that didn't cause me to make strange sounds. There's times now when I get on the floor and I play with my dog, and then when I get up, I go, oh, and I realize that I'm sore, or I go and do a physical activity, and then the next day I get out of bed and I'm like, oh, that didn't feel that way yesterday. And as I make these sounds and these groans, I realize that the groans are expression of the suffering and the pain that are there, but it's also an expression that I am moving forward, that I'm still going on. And I think that this idea here found in Romans of these groans are a sign and a recognition that there is genuine pain and suffering, but it is also an expectation that we're moving forward and believing in the hope. And the first groan that we see here is the groan of creation. Notice what it says in verse 19. It says, "For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty for the children of God." Man, this is awesome when we think about the fact that even though Adam sinned, and in his sin there was this curse that was placed on all of mankind and the animal world and the plant world, and this creation recognizes that things are not right, that the things need to be different, and so it longs to be free to the day when the sons of God, talking about the children of God, talking about man coming back to his rightful place to live as he's supposed to in righteousness and goodness. And this is what happens when the second Adam comes, when Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, when we see that He is the first fruits to have this godly kingdom established. And so Jesus is man again, and now He rules over the earth. And now we see that one day the church and those who were made righteous through Christ will rule with Him. And when that culmination takes place, then creation longs for that time when righteousness and goodness and the way things should have been will be restored. And so creation groans and it waits. And even though it's in suffering, it has hope that one day things are going to be made right. We see here that creation realizes some things about suffering that we need to realize. When we compare suffering with hope, we see that the suffering is temporary, but God's glory is going to be eternal. We see that although suffering is painful, it won't compare anything to the glory that will be again eternally joyful. We see that suffering prepares us as we go through it, But the reward of glory is going to be so worth it. We see that suffering indicates that there is imperfection. And this creation would tell us that things aren't right, but one day we have to look forward to the glory that will be absolutely perfect, where there'll be no more sin, pain, or death. And then we see that suffering is because there is a reminder that there can be life without God. But we are reminded in glory of what life is like when we're with God. We see in verse 22 of this passage that creation talks, it groans as if it was in labor. And we remember the promise of labor when a woman is going through that extreme pain and suffering in giving birth. And then once the child is born, there's the reward. And it's almost as if the pain and the suffering go away when they're able to hold their child and be able to experience having that blessing. And we are reminded that even though we go through difficult times, that God is going to show up. And that even though the suffering is real, the hope and the glory is also real. Creation groans. And we get an indication of this in Luke 19:40 when Jesus said, "I tell you, if you were to keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." When he was there, the Pharisees and the rulers told the people to be quiet because they didn't want to hear them shout that he was king. But he says, listen, if you didn't, creation would. And creation now realizes that things are not the way that it should be. It groans with pain, but as it groans and admits that they're suffering, it is also looking forward to what will be. And if creation waits for redemption, if creation knows that God is going to make things new, we also have to have that faith. And we also have to believe. And that leads us to the second thing I want us to look at is not only do we see that creation groans, but we also see the groan of the Christian. The groan of the Christian. Notice it says, in verse 23, not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope. But what hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. And we understand that as Christians, while we have the Spirit of God living in us and transforming us, we also understand that we're still in our flesh. And so we know that we haven't been fully made right. We still suffer. We still have the presence of sin around us. And there's a day that we long where we won't have to worry about evil taking place in our midst, where we don't have to hear about rapes and murders, where we don't have to see people who go through adultery and divorce, where we don't see and hear about children being neglected, and where we don't worry about people having sickness from COVID-19 and cancer and other ailments. What we desire is for this new body that we wait for. As it says in verse 23, the redemption of our body, when our soul and our body are made again as one, that our soul has been redeemed, but we look forward to our body being redeemed as well, where we will never face sickness and pain and death again. And in verse 24 and 25 says, listen, this is what hope is. Even though we can't see it, we know it is real. And because it's real, we can endure. Because we know that God's promises are true. And when we know that His truth is truth, then we are willing to endure and wait. Last week we looked at the resurrection. And we looked at the fact that Jesus died for our sins, and 3 days later He rose again. And not only did He rise again spiritually, but He rose again physically. He showed truly that death had been conquered. And this is the hope that we have been given. This is the promise that he made to you and I, that because we believe in Christ, that we too will be raised. And this is what we desire. This is what we long for. This is what we hope for. You know, I used to take kids to children's camp when we had a church plant that where we didn't have cabins, but we actually had to go live in tents. And you know, the kids were all excited. We would get there on a Monday and set up the tents, and everybody was just thrilled to death. I have to be honest, I never was. But there was at least a little bit of fun and excitement. And for the kids, they just thought it was a blast. But this is what always happened when we got ready to leave at the end of the week. Even the kids were at the place where they were tired of sleeping in a tent, being cold, sleeping in a sleeping bag. It would usually have rained, and there's water in the tent. It stinks. It smells. You don't have running water, and you don't have the luxury of having a bathroom. And everybody just wanted to go back home and be in their own bed. And you know, this is the same thing that the Bible talks to us, is that we long for not the tabernacle that we're in now, this temporary dwelling, but what we long for is the resurrected body, the one that again will be made perfect and again will not have to worry about sickness and worry about death. We looked at a few weeks ago, John chapter 14, and we saw that Jesus made this promise and he said, let not your heart be troubled. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I'm going to prepare it, I'm going to bring you there. And this is where hope comes for in this promise that Jesus has said, listen, I died for you and I rose again. If you have come to the place where you have trusted in me, then you have this assurance. Paul writes about this again in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4. He says, for we who are in this tent groan, being burdened not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are confident, knowing that while we are home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And this is the hope, this is the assurance that you and I have if we are followers and believers in Jesus Christ, that one day, even though that this body will die, that one day when the trumpet sounds, there will be a stirring and there will be a resurrected body that will come and join our soul. And then we will be as man was intended to be, in perfect righteousness without the presence of sin, and in a body that will be fully functioning and never to be able to experience pain and suffering again. And God says, this is what I've put in your heart to long for. And so it's okay, Christian, to long, to desire for that day to happen, to find your hope and your peace and your comfort in that, in the promise of God. And it's okay to groan and desire that. And while we go through the suffering, to be able to share that. You know, if you read the Psalms, you will see many times there were believers who expressed their pain and their suffering to God and cried out. We see that in the story of Job. We see that with the nation of Israel when they were in slavery. We see that in the prophets as they're seeing the judgments of God fall upon them. And it's okay to go to God when you're suffering. In fact, Jesus says this, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And this is what we need to do. We need to cry out and say, listen, God, we're hurting. And when we do that, we have a God who will bring comfort. And we have a God who will give us strength. You know, Jesus even showed us that example in the Garden of Gethsemane. Before he went to the cross, he cried out to the Father, because he was in pain and in suffering. But he also was assured of the hope of the resurrection. And we need to remember today, Christian, that even though we're going through dark times and difficult days, we have hope. And so it's okay to groan. It's good to groan because it acknowledges the pain, but it also says we're moving forward and we believe that God is going to bring good from this. Then the last groan I want you to see that is mentioned is the groan of the Spirit. Notice in verse 26, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Not only does creation groan and Christians groan, but we see that the Spirit groans for us. It tells us that in verse 26 that we are weak. And we are weak. Not only are we weak in our flesh, but we are weak because of sin. And even as in our Christian love for God, there are many times that we feel depressed, that we are discouraged, that we don't even know how we ought to pray. And it's in these times that we have a God who sympathizes with us, a God who loves us, who has given us the Holy Spirit. And so the Spirit ends up interceding for us and being able to pray for us because we don't even know how we ought to pray. And isn't that comforting that there is a God who hurts with us, a God who groans with us, a God who sympathizes with us, a God who loves us to intercede and pray, as it says, in the will of God. Because there's many times that we're praying and we think we know what's right, but there's times when there's something greater that's going to take place. And so the Spirit prays for us when we really don't know how to pray. There's many times that we face different decisions. There's times when maybe you're facing decisions about how to handle this financial crisis, or maybe there's been some relationship issues that have been damaged because of this, and the social inability, or there's other things that you're just going through, and in your weakness, you really don't know what is the right course of action. Isn't it comforting to know that when we don't even know how to pray and we just enter into His presence, that the Spirit of God is interceding for us and praying for the will of God to be done? Now, some have misinterpreted this verse to say that the groaning of the Spirit is talking about Christians praying in tongues. But we can see that it's not talking about that, because first of all, it says that these are things that cannot be uttered. This isn't something that is taking place where it's audible. This is something that is done in silence. And so what we see here is not that the Holy Spirit is making a weird sound in and through us, but what we see here is a compassionate God through His Spirit who intercedes for the believer and brings requests to God so that we will be in His will. And I find hope today in knowing that there is a God who loves us so much that He not only dwells among us, but He dwells in us in His Spirit. And because the Spirit of God lives in us, we have a strength and a peace and a joy and a hope. Notice what the Bible says in John chapter 16, verse 13. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak of His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for He will take of what is mine and declare it to you. And things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that He will take of mine and declare it to you. And this is what the Spirit does. The Spirit comes and reveals to us the truth of God and intercedes for us so that we know the given truth of His situation and that we're able to endure and have hope. The Bible also says in John chapter 16, verse 22, therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. And in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. And this is what God gives us. He gives us the Holy Spirit that enables us to pray in the will of God. And Christian, when we pray in the will of God, then God hears our prayers and answers them. And that's where hope comes from. And we can look at that promise that if we will truly confess our sin and repent and seek his face and pray, and God promises that he will heal our land. And so this is the will of God. This is what the Spirit is doing. He's working in this situation. Even though sometimes we're confused and we are really hurting, isn't it comforting to know that there is a Spirit who is interceding for us and feeling what we're going through and taking that to God on our behalf? And this is why it's so important, Christian, that we commit time to being praying people. And I have to confess, it's sometimes difficult. I've had a hard time sometimes just being able to pray in this because it's sometimes so overwhelming, all that's going on. But I want to encourage you, Christian, just enter into his presence. And even if you can't pray verbally, just sit there and be in the presence of God and know that the Holy Spirit is praying through us in our weakness and that it's making a difference. Even in these difficult times, there is hope. During World War II in the city of London in 1941, there were some purple flowers that began to bloom from some of the rubble of old blocks that had been destroyed. It was interesting because these flowers had actually not bloomed for over 350 years since the time of Shakespeare. And they were wondering, why are these flowers blooming now? And they discovered that the seeds had been hidden in these stones and the brick, and it took them being blown apart and now the seeds be exposed to moisture and sunlight for them to be able to grow and to be able to come and at this time give hope to the British people. And you know, when we think about the tomb as we looked at last week, the tomb looks at a place of death. And we realize that Jesus died and he paid for our sins and he was buried so that our sins were removed. But then we also think about that tomb that 3 days later, Jesus rose again from the dead and there was victory. And for us, there's these seeds that have been flourished and there's these flowers. And in the midst of even this coronavirus, Christian, I want you to know that even though we are facing dark times and hard times and trying times, there's flowers that are blooming. There's hope that has risen. And there's good that our God is going to do in and through you and I. As we're able to take the gospel and bring it to people who need it. If you're here today and you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then I know you're a person out there and you don't have hope, because that's where hope comes from. And today I want you to know that if you will confess your sin and turn from it, and you will come to Christ, And you will say, Jesus, I believe you died in my place and paid my penalty. And 3 days later, I believe you rose again from the dead. Then this is the wonderful thing that God does. He forgives us of all of our sin and he enables the Spirit of God now to live inside of you. And that Spirit of God will transform your heart and will bring you hope and will be with you during your most difficult times. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I just pray for any here today who have never trusted Christ, that today would be the day that they would receive the one who gives hope. Lord, you have shown us that even in the most darkest time, when you were on the cross, Lord, you trusted and believed that the resurrection would come. And Lord, we want to thank you that today, Lord, we can have hope because of you. And I pray for that person who right now just needs to come and receive you as their Savior and Lord, that they would just pray this simple prayer. Father, I admit that I have sinned, that I've done things to disobey you. Lord, I'm sorry for those, and I desire to go a different way. Lord, I realize I can't do that on my own. I need your help, but Lord, I want to. And I realize, Jesus, that you died and you paid the penalty for my sin, and 3 days later, you rose again from the dead. And so, God, I put my trust in you, and I receive you as my Savior and Lord and commit to follow you these days. Amen. And Father, we pray for those who are Christians that today they would be reminded of the hope that they have in you and that they would claim it and walk in it for Jesus' glory. Amen.